iBeHurton phone conference line.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
How you doing today?
Oh, better. I got a lot of sleep the other night. I didn't get to bed Tuesday, and I went up to the wellness preview, and then I went and met with my son at 9:30, and I didn't get home, and then I got to making a big list of people I was going to contact, and didn't realize it was 3:30, and I went to bed. And when I woke up yesterday morning, it was 10 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought, oh, geez, I must have needed the rest.
I guess.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Auntie. And we have some others here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not sure. Not quite seven here yet. But I wanted to see, do you prefer doing the welcome and everything? Or would you prefer me to do that?
I think you're better at it.
I don't know about that. But I do wake up awake, usually. I've only been awake a couple of 3 hours.
Yeah, you can do that for me on Fridays, too, Ruth.
Why? I like how you do that.
Whatever.
All righty. 7 a.m. it is.
Oh,
here,
yeah.
Anyway. So, good morning, everyone. This is Eve Williams, and I'm on Vashon Island, Washington State. And, enjoying being able to see out a little bit. Maybe that's just because there are so many lights over there in Tacoma. Anyway, this is a health style call with a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices with our goal in mind, becoming more mind and body. We meet here every day, Monday through Friday, to share ideas, and we're kind of a mind mastermind for help. And so we feel like we learn a lot on this call from each other and enjoy it. So we continue doing it every Monday through Friday. And if you want to be on the Health Style email me at nothurtin@gmail.com. And that's on the screen, N-O-T, period. Hurton, H-U-R-T-N, @gmail.com. If you miss a call, you may go to allswell.org. Thanks to Steve Crowfoot, and that is www.allswell.org. So, this morning, we welcome you, and if there are any guests, we welcome you to speak up and tell us who you are and where you're calling from. We know that we have more people just listening than we do watching. Sometimes we have a few slides, and sometimes we don't. We have some of the same old ones that lead us on. But Nancy Gilmer from Texas, near Houston, is our speaker on Thursday. And so I'd like to welcome Nancy, and I believe she's going to talk to us about some thyroid. She talks to us each week this year on the endocrine system, and I think she's talking about thyroid today. So take it away, Nancy.
All right. This morning we're going to cover the testing part of your thyroid, and we'll start with the TSH score. Blood tests are usually the first action taken by a physician to determine hypothyroidism. Laboratory data can be helpful to confirm the diagnosis, but when the results of lab tests do not correspond to symptoms, it is the lab test that should be considered a suspect, not you. The normal laboratory range of thyroid hormones is an arbitrary value defined statistically as plus or minus 2 standard deviations from the mean. this so-called normal range is as wide as the Grand Canyon and as tall as the Empire State Building. In fact, that approximately 90 to 95% of the population will always fall within the normal range. However, be assured that 90 to 95% of the population does not feel healthy, well, or full of energy. It is the relative decline in your thyroid hormone level that matters, not your level compared to some arbitrarily defined standard. Unfortunately, because of this, too many low thyroid individuals are denied hypothyroidism treatment because they are still within the normal range. Mainstream doctors tend to give a separate diagnosis for the symptoms of hypothyroidism, such as fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, and IBS, instead of determining the underlying cause of the symptoms. Therefore, all too often, hypothyroidism treatment is overlooked, and the individual symptoms of hypothyroidism are patched up with pharmaceutical drugs rather than addressing the underlying cause. Any of you can speak up if you have questions while I'm covering this. Any so far? Adrenal fatigue often occurs in conjunction with hypothyroidism. They share many of the same symptoms, although they are clinically distinct conditions. Adrenal insufficiency and hypothyroidism are both metabolic problems that result in a slowdown of your body's function and a decline in energy. Some people may only have one of these conditions, but many have them both and require adrenal and hypothyroidism treatment. In the presence of adequate cortisol, hypothyroidism treatment or thyroid hormone replacement is less effective. When the adrenal glands are weak, even normal thyroid activity is a burden. Hypothyroidism treatment using supplemental thyroid hormone may result in initial improvement in energy levels and other symptoms, but as the adrenal glands become more exhausted, energy production is shut down. The solution is not for thyroid hormone. What is called for is adrenal support with small doses of cortisol. And this is not, I'm sure all of you know the difference. Cortisol is what our body makes. It ends in SOL, but cortisone is the synthetic. So that's what doctors usually give, is like prednisone and so forth. Low dose of cortisol can make a tremendous difference in the energy and well-being of patients with hypothyroidism. Not only does it improve energy, raise the body temperature, and increase resistance to infection, it also helps the body utilize thyroid hormones. Natural cortisol is especially helpful for patients with autoimmune thyroiditis, an extremely common cause of hypothyroidism. Like other autoimmune conditions, autoimmune thyroiditis can develop when the adrenal glands are stressed, especially following pregnancy or at menopause. Natural cortisol actually reduces levels of thyroid antibodies, enhancing the effectiveness of hypothyroidism treatment and thyroid hormones. Any discussion at this point?
Yeah, Nancy.
In the sentence when you first said cortisol, when you first introduced that word, you said if you have adequate cortisol, and you said the opposite of what I was expecting. Could you say that sentence again? Can you remember what it was? You had already said adrenal fatigue has the same symptoms as hypothyroid, and then you said cortisol, adequate treatment with cortisol. Did what?
I think I've got the paragraph here. Let's see.
Adequate was the word. Adequate treatment. And then you said doesn't help or something. The opposite of what? I just wondered if you missed.
In the absence of adequate cortisol, the hypothyroidism treatment or thyroid hormone replacement is less effective.
Okay, gotcha. And then you repeated that. Okay, I'm up to speed.
In fact, one of my friends, when she went to this doctor, and he said, it looks like we need to prop you up. And she was there on the table, but she was so fatigued when she initially went to him. And then a little later in the treatment process, he gave her cortisol, and she said, wow, what a difference. She said, forget the thyroid, give me the cortisol. It made that big of a difference for her.
That's great.
But, okay. I'll continue unless there are any other questions.
Well, Nancy, I'm not too familiar with this, well, I know about cortisol somewhat, but so then you have a thyroid problem and you're tired or whatever and showing those symptoms. I'm sort of missed right when you switch and you also take, or else instead of, take cortisol. When do you take the cortisol? Do they test you for that as well?
You know, I think there may be a test for that. I'm not sure. But here is a very simple. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There is a saliva test, 24-hour saliva test for your adrenal glands. And if you drink a lot of coffee or you're probably using caffeine as an alternative to your adrenal glands. Okay. And anyway, you just saturate. Yes, there is a test for adrenal functioning.
Well, I had my cortisol checked, too. This is Mary Lou. The doctor put it right in with my thyroid panel.
Okay.
Oh, so it is a blood test?
Uh-huh.
I know of the thyroid, but the saliva testing, but I wasn't sure about a blood test per se.
Yeah. It showed up on my lab right here, my lab thing.
So, I, from my understanding, I thought that I know our body produces this under cortisol under stress and et cetera, or when we're just active and that type of thing, but that also produces free radicals, so I think. And so it must have to be in a pretty careful balance.
Yes, now you really don't want to stay on the cortisol for a long time, but what this doctor does is gives it to you for maybe a couple of months. I don't know, he's never placed me on it, even though I questioned that, and here's a simple test we can all do at home. You take a flashlight and go to the mirror and shine, or have someone do this for you. Shine the light into your eyes. If your pupils stay dilated and don't close back down right away, that is a clear indication that you're low on cortisol. So, therefore, on a very sunny day, you will want to tend to kind of close your eyes because the sun is way too bright. That is one of the symptoms of low cortisol. It affects the pupils.
Would that be considered squinting during the sun when it's light out?
Yes. And I've had it so bad that, it almost kind of brings tears to your eyes. You just have to close your lids down. So when I asked him about that, he shined a light in my eyes. He said that I didn't really have a problem, but...
You do need to check the pupil size because my pupils can get pinpoint, okay, and it's still too bright, So if you have blue eyes, you're in trouble, or, I don't know, something else. But my pupils go down to pinpoint, and still it's hard for me to open my eyes in the bright sun.
Well, this is the way they describe it. You know, this whole endocrine thing is, it's kind of like the domino effect. So if you're, and see, all of us are under stress, and it doesn't take much, what I understand, to cause this, to put a strain on our adrenal gland. But once we're stressed in the, with the adrenals, it affects the thyroid, not making, you know, not being there to support the thyroid gland. And then it, you know, it affects something else. So it's kind of a domino effect. So that's why they like to support the adrenal gland along with giving the thyroid, and it just helps ease you into the process of getting back to a normal range with your thyroid.
That explains my question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also interesting that the body temperature is linked in with this. So that's another reason for us to have cold hands, cold feet, and so forth. And okay, so then low dose. Let's see how far. Okay, now we're going into why the hypothyroidism is so commonly overlooked by mainstream physicians. Despite having many symptoms of hypothyroidism, numerous patients, their treatment hinges on a single blood test. Most physicians rely on blood tests to diagnose and determine hypothyroidism. And if your tests come out normal, you are often labeled and treated like a hypochondriac or given the diagnosis of depressed or sent off with a prescription for an antidepressant. Oftentimes, many low thyroid individuals do not get the proper treatment because the physicians are too busy treating the symptoms rather than the underlying cause. Laboratory data can be helpful to confirm the diagnosis, but when the results of lab tests do not correspond to your signs and symptoms, it is the lab test that should be considered a suspect, not you. What is the natural solution for this treatment? This would be utilizing the bioidentical desiccated thyroid preparation. By the way, this cortisol, he makes that in his compounding lab. And I'm not sure if there's any other way to get that, the natural cortisol.
What's that? You said bioidentical what?
The desiccated thyroid. That would be like the armor thyroid from the pig.
Okay.
It just means dried. The gland from the pig is
right.
Dried.
Okay. Did I hear you say that's the good thyroid?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we need. What is the difference between the bioidentical and synthetic thyroid? Conventional medicine's common view of this treatment most often consists of synthetic thyroid preparations such as Synthroid, Levothyroid, and Levoxyl, containing only the T4. Desiccated thyroid is a bioidentical thyroid derived from the pig thyroid gland. It contains both the T3 and T4. And then the hypothyroid treatment utilizing desiccated thyroid contains the same thyroid molecules that our body produces, the T3 and T4, along with the nutrients from the thyroid gland. And I think we'll end there, and next time we'll take up estrogen dominance and show how it affects the thyroid function.
Okay, Nancy, can I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
Okay, because we've been on this subject before, and it was interesting to me, the other day I went over and had a panel drawn at my local lab, and can I go over the results with you, because I get the impression that you're saying, or the doctors are saying, is that if we don't have the right, that the report can be, that you get can be...
not read properly.
Thank you. Let me read something to you. Okay, I went and had a TSH plus a T4 plus a T3 F. And my results came back on my TSH, and I don't know what that means. Maybe you do.
Thyroid stimulating hormone, which is the pituitary gland.
Okay.
It's
normal range on my reference lab was 0.45 to 4.50, and I had a 2.68. Now that puts me in the normal range. My T4, my thyroxin, was my reference panel was 4.5 to 12.0. I came out at 6.7, which puts me in the normal range. My triiodothyroxine, which is my free serum, it was the reference is 2.0 to 4.4. Mine was, the result was 2.6.
All right.
And that was the free serum, okay? So whatever it's called, okay? And then my, for free, my thyroxine, direct S, 0.82 and 1.77, and I came out at 1.08. Now, I guess my question is, in listening to what some things you had to say, that we get misleading information from our panels that we have drawn. Was the panel that I've had drawn, should I be suspect of those figures, or should I not be?
Well, they ran the proper testing except for that T4. That should have been a free T4 also. And I'm assuming that F behind the T3 does mean free, even
yes,
though they didn't set out. So that's correct. That'll show if you're, if, just in case, you might be getting too much of the T3, which is the active. And that did happen to me at one time. So they had to adjust my, and I wondered why, I mean, I had all this energy, and when they would ask, they always ask on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you feel your energy level is? And one time I said 12. I mean, I was just super energetic at that point. And so that was a little high. But what is very important, in fact, this doctor, he said, I don't pay any attention to that TSH because that can fluctuate. And that's only showing... that is the pituitary gland telling the thyroid to produce more. So the more it does that, it's, the more it calls on that gland to produce more, that is causing the gland to, you've heard of people saying, well, I can feel or I can see the, like a goiter. Well, that's what it does. It just keeps enlarging because it's struggling. It's trying to produce more thyroid. But what you really want is that free T4-3. Excuse me, a free T4. That will show how much of that T4 is actually being freed up from the bloodstream and allowed to reach the cells.
Okay, well, the last one here, that thyroxine, was a T4 free direct, and that's where I was in the middle range at 1.08. So I guess that is the one that I needed to make sure that I had.
Oh, I wrote, as you were given that, I wrote that down as a T3. So that was actually a T4.
My last one, my thyroxine, was a T4 free, where the range was 0.82 to 1.77 out of the 1.08. And that was a free.
Oh, okay.
Redirect.
Okay. Well, that is, you do fall within the range there, but like this doctor says, he doesn't pay that much attention to that blood test because that is such a wide range that they've placed you in, and each lab determines their own values, their normal ranges, and they take that as an average of all the lab tests that come through their particular lab. So rather than paying a lot of attention to that lab result, he asks the patients, how do you feel? And if they have these symptoms of low thyroid and still don't feel energetic, then he can give them a little bit more. And so it's a constant tweaking of the thyroid as you go along. And so he pays a lot of attention to what that patient is telling him on how they feel, rather than but there are some doctors who say, well, I cannot, since you fall within the normal range, I cannot give you any, like, I'm not allowed to give you any more thyroid. So it all depends on the doctor. But at least you had the proper testing done. You got the best, I mean, the free T3 and the free T4. So that's good.
Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But if you still had some of these symptoms, then, you know, you could ask them, can you give me a little bit more of the T3 or, you know, adjust it a little?
Nancy?
Yes.
This is Ruth. You said something that I thought was really interesting. You just said, I think, each lab decides their own ranges for the norm. Every lab in the country, they decide their own range.
That's what I understand, and I wish I had my results in front of me, because the the TSH with my doctor that starts at a 3 to, a 3 to, oh gosh, I can't remember what the other, but these are showing up a little differently. So that's what I understand, is that each lab will bring up.
So do they do that as a general rule for all the different things? So if you have something in the water in an area, well, it might be normal to be really high in fluoride or something?
Now, that I don't know.
I know with blood work, okay, all blood work, all body fluid work, it's a mathematical formula for what is the standard deviation and what is the range, the normal range. So if you could take, I could take any of these numbers and find out what the mean is, and then just change the number of the mean. And then I would change the number of all the results. That's why your doctor only looks at whether in that column, whether there's an H, because it's high for that particular mathematical formula. If you took the same blood to a different laboratory, and if you were high at one lab, and you took the same blood to a different laboratory, you'd be high at that laboratory, your numbers would not be the same.
Yes, that's what I thought I was hearing.
Yeah, and that's the case.
That's strange.
The only way to test a laboratory, there was a doc, he's not practicing anymore, I went to him. The only way to really test a laboratory, because there are laboratory errors, is to take two blood samples from the same person and send them to the same laboratory and check their processing abilities or whatever.
Send them to the same laboratory?
Yes, and you should get the same numbers back.
If I send them to a different one laboratory and another to another one, then I'm going to get different numbers.
You'll get different numbers.
How sick all the people are in that area.
No, the numbers will be different, but the laboratories have different
standard deviations.
No, they have the same standard deviations, the same normal curve. Okay, think mathematics. Okay, suppose I told you if you score 6, you get, you get a C if you score 6. Okay, suppose I arbitrarily assign the number 10 for a C. They did the same thing with IQ testing, okay? they tested 1,000 kids, you know, 1 billion kids, okay, and they took the average, and they called that IQ of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not an absolute number, it's a relative number. Okay, so then, you know, 40 years go by,
that's what I'm objecting to.
And they renorm the test, and they find that the average is now 91. So they now call, they don't call average IQ 91, they make the 91 position 100, and they adjust all the other numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's something else that he did many years ago. He drew blood from a patient and sent it to different labs, and each one came back differently. Not just the normal range, but the actual reporting of the thing. So that's why he says labs can be off, that their systems, and that's why he says in here, you trust the patient's word rather than a lab slip.
Yeah, the fellow that
this
I...
This is interesting.
The fellow
I
saw...
Up.
Oh, okay.
You want to finish with one?
Well, only just this one thing. The fellow that that tested these various labs found one lab in Olympia that was always right, always the same, always the right, the same with the same blood, okay, from the patient, different patient names, okay. But there's one lab in Olympia that is a gold star. Tell me when he would use them.
And that lab
that?
Was?
I don't know. It was in Olympia. He sent me to it. It's in a building. It's in a warehouse-like place. At least it was, you know, 20 years ago. The guy died. I don't know his name. I don't know his name. What lab did you go to, Monty?
Oh, yeah, Dad. LabCorp.
LabCorp? Okay. Is that C-O-R-P?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
And that's the one this doctor chooses to use. He feels that they are better than Quest with some of, you know, he's kind of watched their testing, and he prefers LabCorp over Quest.
Yeah, it's called LabCorp.
Mm-hmm.
That's where mine came from as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Mm-hmm. But even a little bit of tweaking, it makes a world of difference when they give you a little more of the T3, the active part of it,
mm-hmm.
and it's just...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Happy day, everybody.
Alrighty,
okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information. Mm-hmm.